You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Heading into yesterday's game against Dallas, they were 1-3-2 on the homestand at the time, which, you know, you would think they would come out and not get outshot virtually 2-1. But either way, they do tie it late, Scott. That's great resolve. That I believe that was their first extra attacker goal of the season, the last NHL team to accomplish that this year. So they tie the game. Granted, I thought Dallas was the better team in overtime. I also thought that, you know, the Bruins gave Dallas maybe 6 or 7 chances to win the shootout going around 9. So Jeremy Swayman was obviously huge, and Brad Marchand's shootout goal to tie it was also huge. So in his 1,000th game, you know, I do think Dallas, quote unquote, deserves to win. But as you said, Scott, that means nothing. Maybe the Bruins didn't deserve to win, but they did win, and it gets them feeling good heading into this stretch of games on the road out west against some really good teams. So momentum is a real thing, and it was that was a very important reason as to getting those 2 points. The Bruins can feel good about themselves, and they can get away from home now. So that win yesterday, while they may not have been the better team, it is really important. I don't mean to downplay that. For those reasons, it's important. Brad Marchand is a big reason that they got those 2 points by scoring in the shootout on Ottinger, and in his 1,000th game, just leading as he always does.
And I think Swayman was a big factor as well. I think I would say like McAvoy, Marchand, Swayman were all pretty big, and those are players that you need to lead you in those situations, and they were. So and Pastrnak, like, obviously game tying goal, doing what he does best. So that's all encouraging. Even though there were stretches where it was like, okay, this looks like it's going to be the same old thing, they were able to not let it be. And they're able to win the last game of the road trip, maybe take a little bit of the criticism and pressure off that of the conversations that would have been had if they'd lost in regulation. They weren't able to find that game tying goal in the third. And it just, now they can hit the road and reset and not have like the worst possible taste in their mouth. Like, they're leaving on a high note for like the emotional reasons of the Marchand stuff and also the win. And chance to build off of it and use what they learned in the road trip to get better and make progress and use the adversity to help them, like we've mentioned a bunch of times, because that's like the main difference between last year and this year is, you know, they have a chance to make those adjustments and bounce back from stuff. Whereas last year they were just so good that their flaws didn't get, they got exposed, but it still didn't result in losses. So, I don't know. I thought it was encouraging for Swayman because he, not that he played bad recently, but he was, before the break, he was playing better. After the break, he was giving up a few that maybe he wouldn't normally give up. And then against Dallas, he was really important and made some key saves.
Yeah. In the shootout, like, gets beat by Robertson in the first round, then 8 straight rounds he makes a save, right? You know, one of them was a poke check, but
and I don't know how many people are stopping that Robertson shot.
Yeah, it's not like guys were missing the net or losing the puck. Like, those had to be legitimate saves. And you know, as far as looking back at like the homestand overall and just kind of where this team stands as they now hit the road, it is also worth noting that, yeah, they're the two absolute stinkers against Calgary and Washington. Every other game on this homestand, they played at least reasonably well and were in it against pretty good teams. you know, Seattle's out of the playoff picture, but whatever. Like, you ran into a hot goalie, but like Vancouver, they blew out. Now, obviously, that was an off night for Vancouver, but you still have to take advantage of it. Tampa had been streaking, has been up one of the hotter teams in the league. Probably should have beaten them. You lose in overtime. Dallas has been one of the hottest teams in the league. You get outplayed by them, but hang around and find a way to win in a shootout. So it's not as much, like, you can look at the overall record in the home state and be like, boy, that's not good. And it's not. But it's not like they were getting blown out by like some of the top teams in the league where it's like, oh my God, look at how big the gap is between them and other good teams. No, like, if anything, you should come away thinking like, all right, they're right there. They're not clearly ahead of these other teams. They're also not clearly behind them. Like, this is probably how it's going to go. By the way, they're facing more good teams on this road trip, especially Edmonton and Vancouver. I would expect those to be competitive, close games, and probably one mistake here or there or one bounce like could decide it. So that's how it's going to be for this team. That's what we expected it to be for this team. We didn't think they were going to be like last year where they're just going to roll over everyone and it's clear that they're, you know, head and shoulders better than every other team. Like, they're not. They're going to have to grind. They're going to have to battle. These are going to be close games. They get into the playoffs, they're going to be close. Like, I know, you know, I was dumb enough to pick them to sweep Florida last year. I'm not going to be picking them to beat anyone in four or five games this year. Like, it's going to be a grind. They're going to have to be longer series.
Scott, shout I wouldn't be reminding Bridget. People.
Shout out to me and Bridget for seeing what was ended up becoming reality before it happened. I mean, that Florida team was playing playoff hockey since January. It just didn't love that idea but Scott, like, to that point, right? Like, the Bruins have 77 points. They're second in the NHL, first in the Eastern Conference. You know, playing these other best teams as measure, it shouldn't even be a question if these teams are in the same league as each other. Like, the Bruins are the second best team in the league. So, you know, to have a homestand where it's like I'm not saying we're doing this. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, to applaud them over homestand for like keeping up with some top teams. Well, they're supposed to be a top team in the league, right? So I think that kind of is like, there's like an underlying message there of like, this Bruins team is, what's the word I'm looking for? They're playing better than expected, or they're overachieving. Maybe they're overachieving where they are in the standings right now. I think that's fair to say. And I think that's why it could be annoying when Bruins fans are interesting. They either have nothing but negative things to say or nothing but positive things to say. And there's really no in between. But when people like say like, oh, well, you know, they're second in the NHL, they're first in the conference, what do you want from them? Nothing. Like, that's great. Like, I'm really happy for them, and they're doing it, you know, Moneyball style. But you have to read between the lines and see, like, this team, they have, if they want to win the Stanley Cup, which is what people want when you're high in the standings, you do have to try to, you know, see the forest of the trees a bit and like identify, yeah, like they're overachieving a little bit on goaltending and just, you know, a couple of, you know, really, really elite players, but there are things to improve upon. And, you know, so it's not that we're complaining about them or anything like that. It's just that, you know, we talk about them three times a week. And I wish it were as easy to say, look where they are in the standings. That's what's expected of them, but it's just not. And I think, Scott, you kind of mentioning the homestand.
That'd be a pretty boring podcast, wouldn't it?
It would be. But Scott, you mentioning the homestand and being like, it's not like they got like, yeah, they played well against Dallas and other good teams. Like, well, yeah, they should. They're second in the NHL. But I think that we just know that they're overachieving a little bit so far.
Yeah,
Brian's getting fired up because it's lunchtime. And he's getting hangry.
Is it lunchtime? It's 10.
It's 10.
Where are you, in England?
I'm hungry, okay? I want lunch.
10, yeah, 14 it's the time, just for listening.
Yeah, it's the
okay, breakfast.
I already ate breakfast. Most people eat that before 10:14, Bridget.
Not me. My breakfast is usually at about 11:30.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, it's the difference between being one of the top teams and the top team. And right now they're one of the top teams with probably a good like 7 to 8 other teams around the league. And yeah. You know, I really wish they were playing Florida sometime soon, like sometime during the stretch. Like that's the real measuring stick I want to see. Like, I know that they're facing some of the top teams in the West, but you know, you're not going to see any of them until the cup final, if you get there. Like, Florida's the one that is right there in your division, right with you in the standings. They're the team like you almost know for sure is going to be standing in your way at some point. And, you know, I know you can only learn so much from one regular season game, but I would just be interested to see like how they match up right now, just what it looks like. And that they don't play again until the end of March, unfortunately. So we're not going to see it, but.
Well, that's after a good time though.
Trade deadline. Yeah, it is.
And then they play again like a week later. So it's like twice.
March and April. You get them twice right before the playoffs. And
yeah,
maybe that last one in April, maybe. Is that the last game of the season?
No, there's.
No. But maybe you're starting to see a little bit of load management by both of those teams at that point. Maybe not. There is still about 6 games left for both teams after that, so probably not. So you'll get your wish then, Scott. Hopefully those teams are, hopefully by then it's the teams that you're entering the playoffs with, and we'll find out. But I want to see that matchup too. And you're right. You're right, Scott. Like, you know, I think one of the reasons this Bruins team is second in the NHL, and it's to no fault of their own, I think the NHL this year is it's kind of anybody's game. Like, I can see any one of the 16 teams that make the playoffs this year going on a run. The parity is kind of it's really strong this year. There's not one team that's like running away with it like Boston last year or, you know, teams in the past. It's like every team has their faults, to your point, Scott, even the best teams. And so I think it'll be a fun spring. It'll be a tough year, I think, for NHL playoff brackets out there.
Yeah, Vegas is going to take people's money again, as per usual. But what I was going to say is they also play Carolina twice in April. That's another team that could be, you know, on their path to the Stanley Cup, depending on how far they make it. And that's another team that it'd be interesting to just see, like, the matchup of playoff readiness it'd be a good gauge for both of those teams to see, like, you know, a little bit of taste of that. I think those are the right teams to be playing at the end of the season. Obviously the very last game is Ottawa. That's different, but you're probably not playing people much in that game anyway. If you finish out with Pittsburgh, Washington and Ottawa. So, but right before that, it's like kind of a gauntlet of teams that are playoff teams in your conference. So it'll be a good, that'll be an interesting stretch of the season for sure.
Yeah. I feel like Carolina's going to be the team to beat in the Atlantic over the Rangers. Like, it's really only been goaltending that's held them back. And I know that's a big one that they have to figure out, but I don't, you know, someone gets hot at the right time. Like, we're talking about depth. The Rangers just lost Blake Wheeler for the season. And on the surface, you think like, oh, that shouldn't be that huge of a loss. And yet, you know, 21 points in 54 games, like, right? Like, that's nothing crazy. That was 6th among Rangers forwards in scoring. Like, just to give you an idea again of another team that's just extremely top heavy. Like, you know, Blake Wheeler was basically a top 6 forward for that team. So,
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been high on Carolina. I actually like dating back to the preseason, and Scott, I know you mentioned earlier on, like, their goaltending wasn't, it was, you know, treacherous and their Achilles heel in your mind. But I just think that that group's been a while, together for a while. And I love their defense. And I just think that that team is really difficult to score on, really difficult to score on. And
frustrating. Up front, they're a frustrating team.
Yeah. Yeah. And up front, you know, no superstars, but just some really solid, you know, players up front for them. And I think that if, you know, speaking right now on February 20th, I could see them going to the Stanley Cup Finals against, you know, a couple of different teams out west. I like a few different teams, but I like Carolina coming out of the East. I'd say yeah, Carolina, then Florida, then maybe Boston, you know?
Yeah, Carolina's another team that does definitely have the offensive depth. I should have mentioned them earlier, but it's funny. My preseason cup pick looked like laughably horrible for a couple months, and now
it wasn't so bad.
Edmonton over Carolina.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. I was laughing at you for the Edmonton thing back when they were sucking. It's like, yeah, Scott, totally. Edmonton's definitely gonna. Did you have them to win, by the way?
Yeah, I had Edmonton. No, actually, did I? I'll have to look back. I might have. No, I think I had Carolina winning, actually.
Oh. Mm. You flipped on them pretty quick once the season started. Carolina.
No, I didn't. I think I stayed pretty high on the team overall. I just said the goaltending sucked, which it did, but
yeah.
I still have serious questions about that goaltending, but we'll see.
Is it bad that I can't remember who I picked? Is it bad? Is
that I don't know who I picked either. I don't think it was Boston though.
It wasn't Boston.
I may have been something similar to Scott, honestly. I may have changed a little bit.
I think I picked someone, Colorado.
I think you did pick Colorado. I think Brian might have picked Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
You might have at least had Dallas there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did pick. And that's a team I am high on. I do like Dallas. And yeah, Robertson was like over 100 points last year. And I think right now he's on pace for 82. It's like a point per game, maybe. So that's a big drop off. But Tyler Seguin's had a resurgence. Jimmy Benn's down a little bit. But yeah, I like Dallas's depth. Maybe we do get an 06 rematch with Edmonton and Carolina. But I don't know. I guess that's
networks would love that. I mean, at least you have McDavid, but not exactly the two best TV markets.
Well, neither is Sunrise. So hopefully, I mean, I don't think any one of those options the NHL wants, but
yeah, I think they would really love if the Eastern Conference Cup team got out of the Southeast and get one of those Northeast teams in there.
That's so true. Wait, so Florida and Tampa have been to the last five titles? Four?
Last four, yeah, 2020 through 23.
All right. Well, guys, we've gone a little bit longer here. Any final discussion points before we sign off?
That the next game on Wednesday against Edmonton is at 10 p.m. So. Let's go. Everybody, just brace yourself for the fact that this game is getting over after midnight.
No, Bridget, you know what I really love, though, is when they have a 10 o'clock game and then they also have another late game the next night. That just does wonders for my sleep.
Well, yeah, and no, that's what they're on a road trip where they're going to be doing a few of them because it's not just those two. Like, I think they end the road trip with another 10 o'clock, right? So, yeah. I mean,
at least the Saturday game in Vancouver, at least that's a 7 Eastern, 4 local. Because yes. I gotta say, I did not need a 10 o'clock game before Sunday skate.
No, definitely
so
not.
This episode currently will be dropping on Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, I'll post it right now.
So, just looking ahead, we might have a bit of a finagled schedule this week. So maybe, just looking at the Bruins schedule with the late games, maybe we drop the next episode Friday morning, potentially.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So then,
yeah, get both of those games, Edmonton, Calgary, in there.
Okay, all right. So there won't be a Wednesday episode this week, then it sounds like, but Friday we'll be back and talking about Edmonton and Calgary, and they're gonna want to avenge that Calgary loss. That was a stinker. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you very soon.
Okay, so one of the things that this podcast has been absolutely elite at is logging off and then immediately having news break. Like within 10 to 15 minutes of us wrapping up. And sure enough, after Bridget, are we taking this on to the end of the episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So not even 10 minutes after we wrapped up the podcast you just listened to, Bruins announced that they have recalled Mason Lauri from Providence, assigned Oscar Steen to Providence, which we knew was going to happen because they waived him, and moved Matt Patra to long-term IR, which they had no reason to do yet, but was going to happen eventually just to free up cap space. So obviously the big item here is Mason Lauri is back, and we figured that was worth touching on for at least a couple of minutes here. After that news broke, because we raised that possibility that they might need a defenseman. So my head immediately goes to, you know, maybe there is some concern about Hampus Lindholm here. We don't know if that is the, you know, direct one-for-one correlation. There was nothing in the press release that just came out about Hampus Lindholm, so I will note that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it just kind of makes us sound dumb at the beginning of the podcast where we're like, maybe Lauri will get called up. Like, maybe. It's like, no.
You're smart. Makes us sound smart.
Oh, yeah. Well, it does. So in my mind, like, this is important to bring up because obviously it's a transaction, and we've spent a chunk of the podcast talking about call-ups and who we want to see. But it also indicates that, like, the fact that the next call-up is a defenseman, and he's like you're one of your skilled defensemen, it indicates maybe that something is going on with Lindholm. So it could be coinciding with that, and obviously they didn't update that. They don't have to, because like I said, like where like Scott said earlier, they didn't have a practice today. Like there was no media availability on Tuesday. So Wednesday when they, or do they travel tonight or do they travel Wednesday morning?
They're traveling Tuesday.
Okay, so they're traveling Tuesday. So maybe we might hear if he got on the plane or not. So, but that will be later, or it will be 5 minutes after we finish the part two here, and then we'll have to tag on a part three.
Yes, because the Bruins will have recalled Fabian Lysell from Providence,
and put Lindholm on IR, and fired coach, and those are literally we had. Bruce Cassidy got fired like 10 minutes after we posted.
At this point, there's been so many. It's literally any time there's been breaking news, I think, since 2021, it's been this way. It happened two weeks ago or something.
What listeners should know is like when they see breaking news, that means like when they see it pop up on their Twitter, they should go, oh, I bet the skate pod just was recording.
Exactly. And now we know, like, every time we record a podcast, we just have to, you know, shoot the shit afterwards for like 15 minutes, and then, you know, it'll come across the bow.
Which we were doing.
But so for me, the first thing I think of is great, like good that he's back up here. And then of course there's the Brian in me that's like annoyed that it takes this for him to get called up. Like I want him there regardless. So
he's got the angel over here.
Yeah.
It's like this Brian, and then this Brian is like, nah, this is,
well, you know,
angry Brian is like the one that comes through more.
Yeah. Hey, every podcast needs a villain, right? I mean, we can't all be, you know, just little.
Well, I thought
little...
we already decided that was Scott.
Oh, that's true. Scott, can you do your Joker voice again from Dark Knight?
Brian's definitely the most negative though. So,
No. Okay. Time out. First of all, I would say that you guys
on an admittedly usually pretty positive podcast overall. So
yeah, but that's exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm a huge Bruins fan. I want nothing for them but to succeed. But you know, we have to have somebody who's gonna, you know, call them out here and there. You guys, I understand the game you guys play. You guys are in the locker room with them. You don't want to ruffle feathers. I'm not, so I don't mind saying a couple things here and there. But no, I definitely think that, like, I don't know why it takes an injury to Lindholm to call him back up, but it does. And so now I'm like, at the same time, yeah, that sucks. Like Lindholm could be gone for a bit of time here, but one thing at a time.
It also times out, I think, like, injury-wise, he was recovering. Like, he did have something he was going through health-wise. Yeah. So, like, I don't know when he was fully healed for that. Scott, you might know the answer. Like, did he play in Providence a few games? Like, they might have wanted him to – but they might have wanted to see what he looked like back for a few games there before sending him back up. So, that could have affected the timing, too. But, obviously, it has Lindholm – like, it has – it feels like it has something to do with that. Like Mondays.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, at the risk of them announcing like Lindholm underwent season ending surgery right after we log off, you know, Lori being called up, it doesn't mean it's anything long term or super serious with Lindholm. Like, we don't know that. It could just be he's questionable for tomorrow and they want to make sure they bring an extra defenseman on the trip. So.
Exactly. Hey, Xerxes is getting called up too, I think, pretty soon.
Xerxes does not look thrilled to be on the podcast right
now. Xerxes is on a like Brazo. I think Xerxes is still on a one-way AHL contract, so he's gonna sign an NHL deal first.
Xerxes was just thinking about eating my face for a second there. Say hi.
So
hi, Xerxes.
Xerxes, let me ask you: are you surprised that?
She looks Xerxes. So miserable.
Xerxes, do you think that the are you surprised the Bruins didn't call forward heading into this long West trip?
What do you think about that?
What you saying over there, Bridget? No. All right. Well, I'll ask you guys, Scott and Bridget. Are you surprised that they didn't subsequently call up a forward in with this long West Coast trip coming up?
Since they. Did call up Laura? I'm not, because I don't think they could. I don't think they could call anyone else up unless someone goes to injured reserve, or maybe they. I don't know. I would have to look. I'm not gonna try to do cat math here in real time, because
you say cat math or cat math,
both. I'm not doing either one. that'd be disaster if I try to do this in real time. So. Impossible they could maybe also call up a forward. I don't know, but they didn't as part of this wave, and I would say if they don't before Wednesday, then to me that would at least be an encouraging sign that, you know, at least one of Richard or Lauko is good to go. We touched on both of them dealing with at least minor injuries, upper body in Lauko's case, lower body after a shot block in Richard's case.
All right. Well, we had to get that little 3-on-3 overtime session in, because the news did just break. And again, like we said, there'll be something else breaking the second we finish here. So, you know, stay tuned for that on Friday, probably. Any final thoughts on the Lauri call up and what it means, or the Lindholm injury and whatnot?
No, I think that was a good overtime session. I think we actually tried to score. We weren't just circling back into the neutral zone. Killing time, keeping possession. So
yeah, it was great.
I didn't get bit. So I don't know if you remember one time I picked up Xerxes and put him on camera, and he immediately bit my finger, so I would drop him. He thought about it, but he didn't.
It's the old Martian Ryan Callahan special, or no, Burroughs and Bergeron.
Yeah, Burroughs Chomper. I called him.
By the way, we didn't even touch on this, but since we just mentioned overtime. Charlie Coyle was like hooked. It was like the most blatant hook in the history of hockey. And
Scott was yelling.
And both refs are looking right at it and didn't call it. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe a good thing, because against the Kings, the Bruins got an overtime power play, and that's how they ended up losing the game. So
yeah. No, Scott literally yelled.
Like, I don't think I actually.
The fucking hook. Are you blind?
Like, oh, come on.
You fucking blind.
started launching stuff over the edge of the press box.
Yeah. Yep. And I think I heard him yelling shoot a few times at the end of regulation when McAvoy was backing up 200 feet away from the goal. That was the all time. That was
by the way, because we haven't talked like on this podcast since the Kings game. By the way, the way that Kings game ended, like, nothing pisses me off more in the entire viewership of the game of hockey than like falling for the old guy out of the box getting a breakaway and winning. It's like, it's in scoring. Like, the power play, how do you not have the time management in your mind and like just the IQ to know he's coming out of the box, Pasta? You're one of the best players in the world. Like, what are you doing with that stupid cross-ice pass? It's like it's the oldest trick in the book. Like, I hate when teams fucking fall for that shit. Like, how do you succumb to a guy out of the box? Like, it's the one thing you're supposed to pay attention to when you're ending the power play. It's like that drives me crazy, especially when it's a game.
Brian's so angry he's getting pixelated and breaking up.
So. Yeah, we had to blur him. Well, now this podcast has had everything. It had a Brian almost losing internet connection, like back to old times. It had us having to tack on another segment because they broke news right after we got off, and Xerxes made a reappearance, and yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm not actually much organized. Be done now.
Yeah. All right. All right. See you guys in 5 minutes when they do something else. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.